It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
This is Jose Trevino with the Texas Rangers. Welcome to Texas Ranger Baseball Podcast with Jeff and John.
Jeff Wilson started covering the Texas Rangers in 2008, though he'll never forget 2021. Out on his own, he decided it was time to do a podcast, but his wheels were spinning until a nerd came along. There's no going back now. Welcome to the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast. Here's your host, Jeff Wilson, and the recliner nerd himself, John Moore.
All right, and welcome to the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast today, episode number 22. And Taylor Hearn's going to join us, left-hand pitcher for the Texas Rangers, and he'll be with us right after this. Today's episode is brought to you by Superior Sports Investments. Established in 1995, they carry one of the largest graded card inventories in the country with the widest variety of BGS and BCCG and PSA graded sports cards. Unlike other online sellers or auction houses, they own their entire inventory. They don't take consignment, no auctions, so they take pride in every sale that they make. They make sure every card they sell is the highest quality item possible before it leaves their hands and packaged safely and securely. Visit their eBay or Amazon stores to see their entire inventories or browse SuperiorSportsInvestments.com. That's SuperiorSportsInvestments.com. And use the promo code THANKS5 for a discount. All right, guys, coming in, joining us right now from the Texas Ranger Baseball Podcast Hotline is Texas Ranger left-hand pitcher Taylor Hearn. Taylor, what's going on, man?
Doing good. Trying to stay warm during this cold weather and snow.
It's snowing like heck right now in southern Tarrant County. I don't know what it's like where you are, but holy smokes, these are like giant flakes. And I'm from Colorado, so I know snow. This is pretty good. This is
like home.
Kind of. People need to get outside. I know this isn't live, but I got two kids sitting around not doing anything. They need to go out and enjoy this because it's not going to happen. That's the truth. All right, so no baseball for you today. That's all right.
No, probably. I think it's just all indoor stuff. I'm still going to go to the gym and work out, but no baseball stuff outdoors. So.
Where are you right now in your off season? Are you built up to a certain point, or are you at full intensity yet? What's going on your bullpens?
No, I'm pretty built up. I think right now I'm just at a point where I can throw in games if I need to. I threw my first live BP 2 days ago, so. But everything's feeling good physically, mentally. Pitches are starting to get there. Just trying to pick up where I left off last year.
You got a group of guys from the team who you're working with?
So when we did live BPs, it was Solak hitting. It was me pitching, AJ Alexi, Spencer Howard, Josh Spores is out there as well, and Jonah was catching.
Okay, so you guys got that's a big group. I mean, that's pretty good. Did you guys make a pact or something with the way things are to get together, or they just all live in here now?
Yeah, I think most of them aren't already living here. Most of them got their houses and stuff here. And we kind of, because a lot of us were working out at the stadium before the lockout happened. And so we just kind of kept in touch with each other and was like, hey, we found a place and we'll jump around and usually just, try to throw on certain fields and stuff. So it's been fun.
Good. You said LD Bell has been kind of your hub. They've got an indoor, I guess, a multi-purpose. I don't know if you get in there or not, but the home of the Blue Raiders, Tommy Maddox, former NFL quarterback. I mean, and then I heard, I think Sam Huff said South Lake. Have some of you guys been going to South Lake too?
I've gone out there as well. But yeah, we've been over there at LD Bell. We've been doing that. They have a 70 yard indoor with a nice gym, and they got the all turf field as well for baseball. So it's like it's perfect. But I mean, hey, I mean, I kind of told a bunch of the guys as well that you know, that's kind of what Texas high school is now. You know, everybody's got their own indoor. Everybody's going turf. I know my old high school, they went turf like 4 or 5 years ago. So it's just, it's a lot easier.
Yeah. Now Sam, I talked to him for a story a few weeks ago, and he was blown away. I mean, he's from Arizona. He couldn't believe that one school had a indoor facility, let alone every school.
Basically. Yeah. Cause I know when I went up and worked out with him one day, we were at a South Lake High School, and he was like, man, are all the high schools in Texas like this? I was like, yeah. I was like, they're not as, I was like, some are as good as South Lake. I was like, and some are better, and then some like mine are, you know, are getting there. We're just not there yet on the indoor cages.
Right, right. So you mentioned last season, you're kind of, I guess your breakthrough season. You said you want to build on it, but what did last season do for you as far as reaffirming that maybe you could do this or something like that?
Last year showed a lot for me. It was fun. First off, it was a lot of fun, but it showed me a lot. I'd always, when I came up in 2020, during the pandemic as well, that was my first time ever throwing a bullpen in the big league. So I really didn't know what I was doing. And so when it was, you know, last year was pretty good because I finally got a routine, learned how to do it. And so I really took it to heart, you know, because I think it's cool. Cause we all come to a point, I honestly think every pitcher is going to come to that point where, you know, you can't do the same role for a long time. Like sometimes you got to go on different roles and different positions. So I've always wanted to experience a bullpen and get a feel for it. And I thought it was a lot of fun. I mean, those guys in there are awesome. I got a chance to, you know, bond with a bunch of guys, and it was just cool, you know? And so I was kind of, it was the one thing I took away from 2021 last year was just how versatile I can be. And so I was totally for it. And, you know, and I really hate, I don't know how it got out there or even who brought it up, but I never ever wanted to be, or even said, like, I think I deserve to be in the rotation, stuff like that. I just wanted to do whatever they needed to do. And I was enjoying the bullpen. I was having a lot of fun. I was getting a lot better. But I think probably what was going on, what I did was just I got better at a lot of things, worked on a bunch of pitches with our pitching coaches. And it just, you know, when I got thrust into the rotation, I was ready for it, you know, and was a lot better guy than I was before.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you are, I'm sure you will have to go in and show something at spring training, or that's what you're
of being course. Told,
but
right.
You are a front runner for the starting rotation. I guess that's the goal. I mean, all along since you entered pro ball, but what is it about starting that you like?
It's fun. It's fun. I think a guy like me that throws hard from the left side and can, you know, keep the velocity for seven innings, however long, eight innings, like that's, I think that's rare because there's not that many big league guys that are lefties that can do that. You know, it's always bullpen guys and stuff like that. So I think that's one thing I really like about starting. And it's fun because I like to set the tone for the game. You know, I think you saw last year a lot. By far, that last 2 months of the season when they put me in the rotation, I'm not going to lie, it was tough because it was a true test of me physically and mentally that I took upon myself. That like, okay, I'm about to face some of the top lineups in baseball, Oakland, Houston, Chicago White Sox, you know, the Angels, the Yankees. Like I'm pitching at Yankee Stadium, you know. Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. I took it to heart and I really just embraced it, you know, and I was like, look, you know, if they want to see what I can do, I was like, this is gonna be my chance to show them what I can do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what are you building upon? I mean, do you want to work on the shape of a pitch? Do you throwing more strikes? I mean, I don't know what is your focus?
I think this year going into this year, what I've been working on a lot, of mechanical stuff as well. But just trying to stay in the zone the best I can. You know, I think last year was a good testament of a lot of stuff that I worked on and how much it helped me and how I need to just continue doing that, but just building off of it. So my biggest things going into this offseason were continue a high strike zone rate, high strike percentage, try to throw, continue to throw and better each pitch so I can throw it at any point of the count. Cause you know, it was tough last year a little bit because I was learning, they were changing my grips on a lot of the pitches and learning a sinker the right way and then learning a slider or a better slider. And, you know, even they fixed my changeup a little bit. So, you know, I was losing a little control with the slider at times, but I started getting better with it towards the end, just getting more comfortable with it. So the biggest goals is going in next year is just have a higher strike percentage than last year. Don't worry about strikeouts. Try to go as deep in the games as I can and try to throw every pitch for a strike at any point in the count.
I think last year we all know the Rangers lost 102 games and it was a development season. try to get some guys some evaluation, but you know, with what the team did there in late November, early December, seems like there's going to be some expectations now. How do you ready for that? You ready to pitch with expectations of winning and maybe more of a chance to go out and win?
I mean, I kind of let you guys handle that, you know, because y'all are funny. I'm not gonna lie, Jeff. Y'all are funny. I love reading on Twitter about, you know, the high expectations that you guys have for us and, you know, make all the, and it's fun. I think it's funny. I love it though, because it's the hype and the buzz that, like, when you sign a Corey Seager, a Marcus Semien, a Cole Calhoun, a John Gray, you know, like it's big. So definitely enjoying it. I'm looking forward to it, but honestly, it's never changed. Like every game's going to be the same to me, no matter who we're facing and everything. It just be, you know, we got more and, you know, even better players.
Well, and I'm assuming that your expectations of yourself are higher than anything that I could write or John could say or anything like that.
I guess you could say that. I've never put expectations on myself, even as a man off the field, but then even a man on the field, because I really don't want to limit myself. And I really want to try to get the most out of my ability every year and try to be the best player I can be, you know, and then at the end of the day, try to let guys like you reporters and stuff, figure out, you know, what do I got to do to be in that Rangers top 25 list of all time, you know?
It's got to be nice, too, because you're going to have – look, the lineup is going to – is better. So right. When you're pitching, that offense can do a little something. My part comes here in a second, but I just jump in.
You can chime in whatever you want.
Yeah, I think with Seager, Semien, and with Calhoun also, I mean, that lineup just got significantly better. So that – for a pitcher – that's going to help, knowing that they're likely to go out and at least scratch a few out.
Oh, for sure. For sure it will. It's good to get those type of guys, because you kind of need to protect guys like Adolis, you know, our big power guys that
need
protection around them. Yeah, Nate Lowe.
Yeah.
Lowe as well. Izzy being a guy that's a good table setter. You got guys like Jonah and Trevi who can hit as well. You got Willie. So, I mean, it's pretty, it's going to be interesting, because, like, I'm really excited to see what our lineup's going to look like, because, like, I can't stop going back to it, but it's funny and it's cool to see all reporters looking at different lineups, like mix and matching and thinking about this and that, you know, and I think it's cool because you kind of get a chance to, like, dream on it and be like, man, you know, what's our lineup going to look like when we're, you know, in the playoffs first round or you know, like the biggest game I still remember is when the Rangers were playing Tampa Bay for game 163 to get into the playoffs, you know. And yeah. I hated it though, because one of my favorite pitchers, David Price, pitched that game.
Right.
So it was you know, I always wonder about games like that. Like what is our lineup gonna look like?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the first time that David Price beat him in the playoffs, because they had maybe ever, because the Rangers, for whatever reason, have had tremendous success against David Price. And,
right.
You know, going into 2010, you know, he pitched game one and of the ALDS, and the Rangers knocked him around. And then he came back and pitched game five too. You know, the big Cliff Lee David Price matchup, it never materialized. But that's just one of those baseball things, I guess. But I mean, I guess you guys are similar. You throw hard, you're tall. He's a little older now, but and then he pitched out of the bullpen last year too. So I mean,
he did.
All these things. So you like David Price? Anybody else who you like tried to pattern yourself after back in the day?
David, CC, Dontrell Willis, Randy Johnson. Honestly, one of the other guys I watch video on all the time, but I can't throw like him. It's Chris Sale. Like I can't. Like, he's throwing sliders to righties that are in and up way behind them, and they're swinging and missing. I'm like, man, like, okay, I can't drop my arm down that low because I don't even know if I'll be able to do it like that.
So the big lanky guy seems to be
left
big lanky lefties and just power guys.
Yeah, can you learn anything from a right-handed pitcher?
You kind of can. I watch video on DeGrom as well. I'm a really big fan of his. So I think you can learn a lot, but it's so hard because I guess the reason why I like watching lefties, like another one is Patrick Corbin, right? He's obviously not a power guy like he used to be, but he still throws hard. But I've watched a lot of video on him just like because we, you know, trying to do the same thing with a slider, you know, and the same thing with CC Sabathia, David Price, you know, being a power guy, four seam guy, you know, and Dontrell Willis as well. But yeah, I definitely like to watch guys like that because I think lefties, it's a little bit easier because I guess hitters' approaches are different when they face lefties and righties. So, you know, I think that's why I watch a lot of video on me facing guys, but then also other guys and how they look against lefties as well.
Okay. The rest of the rotation, you know, you got John Gray, probably Dane, yourself. And then it seems like it could go a couple ways. It seems like the Rangers could sign a veteran. It seems like maybe they could just go with the younger guys. Not that you're old, but like AJ Alexi, your Glenn Otto, guys we saw at Spencer Howard. It seems like there's a good crop of arms. What are you seeing?
We're going to surprise some people. I truly think that people are going to be very shocked that when they see our rotation and our bullpen as well, because it's been slowly coming together these last two or three years, very slowly, like piecing it together, guys, trades and whatever. Cause you know, I truly think we're going to have one of top five, top 10 Major League Baseball bullpens because we, you know, two of our other flamethrower guys aren't even back yet. Like they're right. Going to come back, you know, so it's like, that's going to be two big pieces that nobody saw last year.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they'll be back in May probably, it sounds like. So yeah, you're putting two guys that throw 100 with right. Nasty off-speed stuff. That just lengthens everything out. So
yeah. Yeah. And it's good back end pieces. And then it's going to be even more interesting. I mean, we got a lot of guys fighting for rotation spots as well, including me. And so, you know, it's going to be fun. I mean, hey, if for some odd reason that we signed a bunch of guys and they tell me I need to go to the bullpen, I'm fine with that because like being in the bullpen was fun, but you know, it'll be pretty cool. Like to be down there with those guys as well. But yeah, I mean, you know, we definitely got Jonathan coming back and McClurg, so we're going to definitely shock some people.
I know there's a lot of uncertainty right now on when you might head to Arizona, but are you ready to go? You got a bag packed and just need to hear their word go?
I got the bags packed and everything. I'm ready to go. I've been doing it long enough. I know exactly what clothes I'm bringing. I know exactly how much to bring, and you know, But yeah, I'm ready to go. I'll probably, probably if we, you know, if things with the lockout start to progress a little bit more, you know, mm-hmm. or just more rapidly, then definitely probably head down there probably the next like 2 weeks or so.
Yeah. It seems like there's kind of a, and John and I talked about this, and we won't beat you to death with it because you're in a tough spot, but it seems like we could get there. It just seems like the middle ground is not that far away. It's just
getting maybe a couple
things need to break, and then it could happen relatively
quickly. I agree because, you know, what are we 2 weeks away from report dates and stuff like that. Yeah. So I wouldn't be shocked if we hit it on date, and also wouldn't be shocked if we delayed it. But yeah. Like, I mean, I guess you never know, because I truly do think, like, if we can knock out the core economic stuff within, let's just an example, like we could knock it out this week or next mm-hmm. week, you know, by the end of next week, like that'd be perfect timing. Cause then, yeah. you know, it'd be perfect time, roll it right through and know we're going to be right on time.
Well, then they can put out, I don't know how they contact you guys, email or whatever, and just say, hey, get ready. This is about to happen. We got to get it on paper, and the lawyers got to sign off on it, and we got to vote. But you can vote from Arizona or Florida. It seems like it could come together.
I wouldn't mind voting if it was a little warmer too in Arizona.
Yeah. Maybe you should be there already. I don't know.
Looking
out the window. Holy cow.
Yeah, the big flakes are here now. They've reached us here, so I'm sure Taylor's getting them there in Dallas.
Yeah, I'm looking at them right now outside my apartment, and they're not small.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's been kind of our deal here with John and I that I ask the baseball questions and the real hard hitting, you know, put you under the spotlight questions. And now John goes a little lighter.
Yeah.
And then I chime in, but we're turning it over to John.
He throws high, tight, and inside, and then I come in with all the junk. It's kind of what I do. I'm a junk
ball. Comes in about 68.
And at the old one, Taylor's come on, but I'm going to go over some of the stuff Taylor and I went on last time, because our audience here is a lot bigger, and they may not have probably not have heard it on the other side, but he's got some interesting stuff. Royce City, went to Royce City High School, right?
Yeah.
And you did. Now, did you play any other sports in high school?
Nope. Strictly baseball. It was baseball and rodeo. That was it.
Baseball and rodeo. And rodeo is always a fun story with Taylor. My family has some rodeo history. Taylor's grandfather was the first African-American Marlboro man, right? Is that right?
Yes, correct.
And I know that your family had
the first to win a major event, too,
at a big event.
Yeah.
I mean, and dad does it for a living, too, or did, right? He's probably, he may be retired by now, but.
He does it periodically, but I think they still practice and stuff. They haven't gone to major rodeos and stuff.
Well, now y'all had a spread in Lancaster, but y'all, is everything moved out to Royce City now? You got an arena and everything?
No. So we still got it in Lancaster, and then my uncles, they live in Waxahachie and Red Oak, and they got their own places. So it's getting there slowly but steady.
And Jeff, for rodeo people, my stepfather is a team roper, and he has his own arena. And, you know, you get to, you know, every once in a while you go with or without the rope and steers, and you get them out there and do that. Now, I got to ask, you like to rope, and you grew up roping. I don't know how much you're doing it now, especially since you've got to keep up with Ranger stuff, and you don't want to. But are you a header or healer?
I'd be a header.
You'd be a header? Now, do you also do just the single where you tie them and what you're trying to do?
That's mainly, yeah, calf roping, that's my main event. That's it.
That's what you like is calf roping?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, those guys are, what is it, what's the guy that was the champion for years and years and years? Fred Whitlock, was that a name? Or I'm
Fred Whitfield.
Yes.
Yeah.
Man, that dude was on them, off, and tied so quick. If you go to rodeo to watch those guys, I'm amazed. I've done a little heading and I suck at it. But what I really love more than anything, we had the shoots and everything there at my parents' place out in Vernon, is getting in the chute and letting that steer go and just me learning to ride next to it. I couldn't do the rope, but riding next to it, that's where you kind of learn your skills as someone that didn't really get on a horse till I was 22 years old or whatever.
Right.
So, well, okay.
Vernon, what, junior college, or they're big time college rodeo.
Yeah, baseball and national college. Yeah, they're huge. Yeah, yeah. And they have a big they got a big rodeo out there that they do every May.
Okay.
Wouldn't surprise me at some point if your dad or grandma or uncles or somebody went out there. Grandpa's, I mean, and
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they'd have to ask him.
Yeah.
Hey, you need to hook up with Madison Bumgardner, right?
Hey, that's the next goal. Madison, so he's obviously like a lot more steps ahead of me, but you know, the plan is to eventually have arena and stuff like that. So, you know, let's just say, you know, 5-6 years from now, we're another lockout. I got everything set up, and they're like, "Hey, what you been doing this offseason?" I'm like, "I've been at the house,
that's right,
killing some time."
What?
I'm mad because I kind of wish I had my own stuff now, because you know I could come on here and say, "Oh yeah, trust me, I've been busy all offseason. Yeah, I've been real busy."
But he's got the alias, right? I can't remember what it is, but he competed. Was it last offseason or two off seasons ago?
Yeah, two off seasons ago. See, he can probably get away with an alias. I couldn't because it's too hard. And then plus on top of that, like my name, like the last name is already like people already know. So it's kind of like I can't hide nothing.
Yeah. And he's got a little more pedigree than you. He's been around a little while longer.
He can definitely get away with that. I can't right now.
Okay. Now Taylor holds another distinction that's pretty interesting. He was drafted four times. That he was drafted. Drafted out of high school in the 22nd round by Pittsburgh. Drafted in the 36th round out of San Jacinto Junior College the next year. Then he went again in the 25th round from San Jacinto. And then he ended up at a school that's near and dear to me. He went to Oklahoma Baptist, and the reason I say that is a very, very good friend of mine growing up. His son has been the starting quarterback at Oklahoma Baptist the last 4 years and is somewhat of a NFL prospect. He's probably not going to get drafted, but he's getting invites to go out. Led the nation in passing. It's a good buddy of mine's son, Preston Hare. And he's a good little quarterback. But Oklahoma Baptist, fifth round. That's when Washington took you. So every time that this happened, four times, I love to ask this question. Where were you at, and how did you find out you got drafted? Starting high school.
Or just that last one?
Yeah, starting high school. How'd you find out that one? Do you remember?
Let's see. Okay, so when I got drafted in high school, I was watching on the computer. I kind of knew the only team that was going to take me was the Pirates. So I guess the little backstory on that, when I got hurt in high school, trained my UCL, missed the whole season. The Pirates wanted me to throw in a private workout for them. So I was like, okay, cool. I was like, hey, is that okay if I invite other teams out? They're like, yeah, it'd be okay. I texted 26 teams, something like that. And only one showed up, and it was the Mets, the Mets. And I was just at my parents' house on the TV screen or on the computer screen watching. I saw my name pop up. I took a picture of it. And then I went in there and showed my mom my phone. I said, hey, mom, look, I got drafted. And she's like, you're not excited? And I was like, oh, what do you want me to do, a backflip or something? So I did that. Let's see, freshman year of college. Oh, this is a good one.
This is Cincinnati. Yeah, this is Cincinnati.
Yeah. Okay, so I was actually, I got hurt again. I had a stress fracture in my elbow, so they put a screw in my elbow. And I'm sitting on my couch at my parents' house, knocked out of sleep. And this is obviously when the draft was 40 rounds, and I'm knocked out of sleep. I get a call from my agent at the time, and he was like, hey, what you doing? I was like, oh, nothing. I was just taking a nap. He goes, oh, you're not watching the draft? I was like, no. I was like, I kind of figured I'm not going to get drafted. He's like, well, the Reds just took him to 36th round. So found that out because I was sleeping. Next time.
Minnesota.
Next time against the Twins. I pissed a little bit. Was still dealing with some injuries. Kind of knew they were going to – I didn't know they were going to take me. Didn't offer that much money. And then that so happened. And then OBU. Me, mom, dad, and sister are at Topgolf. They were like, what do you want to do on draft day? So I was like, we're going to Topgolf. It's like, I just want to go hit golf balls and get back in the net. So did that, answering my phone. I wouldn't say it was a pointless trip, but like, I was checking my phone every 5 minutes, and I swore, and I told him I didn't want to check my phone, but I'm like, okay, wait, this guy got taken? Wait, okay, so he hadn't gone yet. So I'm just waiting. I get a phone call from my agent. He's like, hey, you know, the Nationals are going to take you right here. So we stop what we're doing, stop golfing. Everybody goes, sits in the car. I pull it up on my phone, and my family's recording it, and I end up, you know, they end up saying my name and stuff like that. So, man, if that was such a big relief, because I'm a pretty big risk taker. I took a huge risk on myself by going out of college or high school, college, junior college. And then I took a chance. They took a chance on me as well. NAIA school, you know, at the time. Now they're Division II.
Yeah.
And man, a lot of people don't know this. I got a lot of backlash for that because a lot of scouts, I'm not going to say the teams, but a lot of scouts, honestly, so I was up to 97, 98 that year, touched 99. And I remember my head coach just telling me the interviews he was having with all the teams and stuff like that. And he was, and they were just like, teams could not understand. Like they liked me a lot. But he said a lot of them told him to his face that they didn't think like my fastball could play at professional baseball. And so he was just like sitting there. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, this is left-handed from 90. He's like, this is 96, 97 from left side. He's like, what do you mean this can't play? And the biggest downfall I had on me was just that everybody was like, oh, the level of competition is not a Big 12. It's not an SEC and stuff like that. Like, you know, you're facing NAIA talent. And so I couldn't. You know, verbally say what I wanted to say to these interviews, but
exactly.
I'm just like, man, what are y'all like? What are you guys like? What are you missing here? Like, what are you missing here? I'm healthy. I pitched 70 innings. Like, we went to the World Series. I'm like, what else do you guys need? You know? And so it was tough, but I'm glad it happened because I really want people and kids to use me as an example. And it's no disrespect to guys that go Division I, but I really want kids to use me as an example to be like, it's okay to take a risk on yourself and go somewhere where, you know, that's a smaller school, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get to where you need to be though.
Did you have any offers from any bigger schools before you went to Oklahoma Baptist?
Let's see. I had originally committed to go to OU out of high school. Okay. And the coaches left out of high school. So that's when I went JUCO. And then OU had came back a little bit. It was Miami, a couple other schools as well. But a lot of them figured they were like, you throw hard, like, we know you're not going to come here. You know, you're going to get drafted and signed. So I did. And I need a new change of scenery. And I was like, I want to go up here to OBU. The coaches love me. I love them. They were very nice. Like, hey, we're not going to babysit you and stuff like that. We're going to take a chance on you. We like you. And so I was like, all right, well, you know, I'll go.
That's good. I mean, look, it worked out good. Going there. Then, so obviously I know your senior year, you get drafted. When was the first time you really realized you might be getting looked at by scouts? Was it sophomore, junior year? When were you starting to see people were coming out to watch you?
It was so college-wise and everything, it was I had offers my sophomore year. Pro-wise, it really picked up my junior year because we were playing Sherman High School at Sherman, and Kyle Crick, who got drafted by the Giants in the first round, there was like 8-10 scouts or whatever it is right there to see him. And he ended up throwing a no-hitter against us. I broke up his perfect game because he hit me in the foot. So, you know, I'll take it. So so I ended up pitching that day. And so I ended up getting up to like 88, 89, something like that. And ended up getting a bunch of letters from a bunch of the teams. And the talk when I went back to class that next day was just like, oh my God, like all these scouts and stuff loved you from a bunch of classmates. I'm like, I didn't even know scouts were there. You know, I didn't really think about it. So that's when it started picking up. And then I have a bulletin board I keep, and it was just of every letter I've got from every team. And I have one from every single team from junior year to senior year to, you know, so that's when it started picking up. But to be honest with you, I really, growing up, I knew I could have a chance to play pro ball and I wanted to play in the big leagues, but I never really talked about it because I just kind of took it day by day. And as I got bigger and started throwing hard, I was like, okay, maybe I can actually do something with this.
Nah, that's, you know what? And that's the attitude to have. Yeah, it's a dream, but the work's got to be there. You guys work out a lot and work hard, and you grew and did it. And that's where you go from there. Okay. So this is a funny one that I'm going to get into. Manchester U. You are a big Manchester U fan. And I'm the guy that jumped on board, and I got all kinds of crap. You guys, you and Hixey and Sandler and all the guys that are into the Premier League football, you know, that's what they call it. How'd you get into – I know you're not a big soccer guy, but you got into it now. You're really into Manchester U. Tell the story how you got into that.
So I've actually always been a Man U fan. So the first time I saw I've always watched soccer, but the first time I saw a Premier League game, whenever it was 2005 or six. And I remember watching TV and Wayne Rooney was playing when he was with Man United. And that was my first soccer game I ever bought. And so I was just sold on Man United. I learned all the players. I try to watch all the games. I try to keep up with the games. Next thing you know, I'm playing FIFA. Like FIFA went from a game I never played to a game like it's like one of the top two games I play now.
Yeah.
And so I've never really said anything about it. But once you get some reporters and stuff like that, like Chris and Jared, and they're like, oh, they're big Tottenham. And then you got Chelsea. And I'm like, all right, like I need to say something because – Y'all ain't finna come on. I got to humble you guys a little bit. So, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I got during the season when they signed Jadon Sancho, I went out and I ordered me a Sancho jersey. I tried to order me a Ronaldo jersey, like, right when I heard the news. And they were like, oh, you know, it's going to take a couple months to get his jersey. I was like, all right, well, I'll just wait. So,
well, hey, let me set the scene for these folks. So, before a game, the media goes down by the dugout, and the guys come out, and you guys are doing your workout, doing whatever you're doing. And the conversation got into Premier League. And this last year, I was kind of the free agent because I was like, you know, I like watching it. I love the World Cup. How do I choose a team? And, man, everyone hard-pressed me on their team. And when it came down to it, I said something about, you know, I know Wayne Rooney. I know when Beckham used to play for Man U. I said, that's the team I know. Yeah. But Man U is kind of like the Yankees and the Cowboys. Either you love them or you hate them, and everyone else tries to pitch the other deal. And I came down to my decision. I tweeted out, I said, you know what? Man U. That's the team I know. I'm going with the team I know. So me and Taylor are out on our limb against our group. We're the only two. Now, I don't follow quite as close as Taylor does. But, yeah, I need to order me a jersey. And now I'm all Man U now. So I'm like, you guys can't sell me any other way. That's the one I know, right? So,
yeah. Yeah.
So it's like
don't let Chris and Jared sway you. Like, their teams are, you know, they're teetering. They're always not in the top four. So, you know, just know Man United is always going
to
be the
top. Absolutely. Four. Man U, baby. Always. Man U. Yeah. That's a bucket list. I would love to go to Europe and watch a game in
person.
That's my
next goal. Like, yeah. I'm like, hey, once we get this lockout taken care of, I'm like, I'm going to Man United. I'm like, I'm going to a game. Hopefully I can go to a game. The game I want to go to is when they play City. That's the game I want to go to.
That's a big rivalry, too. And that would be fun to watch. Okay, so let me ask this. What do you like to do when you're not playing baseball? You went and hit golf balls. Do you play golf? Do you hunt, fish? What do you do?
No, I like fishing. Obviously, it's been hard to go fishing because of the weather and stuff like that. But, like, I've been playing – shockingly, I've been playing video games. I've been playing FIFA, Call of Duty, Madden as well. I've been kind of staying inside. And then I've been – this is around the time when I start watching a video of myself and then trying to pinpoint it and, you know, trying to get scouting reports and stuff like that. But I still try to play video games because I need it just from a mental break of baseball.
Yeah. Do you play golf or do you just like to hit balls?
No, I just like hitting balls.
You just like hitting balls?
Just Top Golf is my best friend.
Yeah, I like it. It's a lot of fun. Okay, so what's your favorite food? What is your food you like to eat?
Favorite food would be lasagna.
Lasagna? Oh, okay. Any go-to places that you like for fast food? I know that the big Whataburger between you and Jose, y'all are always talking about that.
Best go-to fast food would have to be, it'd be a tie between Raising Cane's and, had the good Whataburger.
Whataburger. What's your go-to Whataburger? I forgot. You do the chicken with honey.
Honey barbecue chicken shrimp sandwich. No.
Okay. All right. So this is always a fun one. I like to hear. What's your favorite home-cooked meal and who cooks it? Grandma, mom, girlfriend, wife, whatever.
Oof. Favorite home-cooked meal would have to be, man, that's tough. My mom can smother some chicken really good. It's hard to say though, but yeah, I'd have to go some of my mom's meals. She got me hooked on fish and chicken. So I'd have to say, oh no, she makes some really good pork chops. I ain't gonna lie. She makes really good pork chops.
Now, are they fried or are they baked? What is she?
Fried.
Ooh.
She does. Yeah. She does a really good job on those.
Now I remember last year, I think it was spring training. You mentioned Snicker bars. You eat Snickers during games.
I do. So Snickers, oh my God. Snickers helped me out.
Really?
So, oh my gosh. You have no idea. Oh my God. No, you have no idea. So Snickers, I don't know what it is. So I think the first time I ate Snickers during a baseball game was whenever I think I was 10 or 12. And my mom would always have them for me. And so it just became a habit. Even when sometimes in the minor leagues, like if I could stop by a convenience store, I'd go get some Snickers and eat them like during games. So I just like them.
I love Snickers. I mean, my favorite candy bar, very under the radar, is Mr. Good Bar. But
with the Snickers, peanuts.
Yeah. A frozen Snickers.
Yeah, yeah.
Frozen Snickers is hard to beat.
Yeah. Right. No, by far.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I don't have a problem with any of those. And that's why I don't touch them right now. I'm down 16. I'm trying to get down 30. So
atta baby.
All right. So here's a fun one. And we didn't ask this last time you're on, but I've been asking this to everybody on this show, and it's fun to listen to the answers. And you may know some of these answers, but what's something nobody knows about you? And you can't use rodeo because we all know about the rodeo. The example I've used though, you need to hear some of these, cause I think you'll find them funny. Jack Leiter hates peanut butter. Can't stand it. That's a personal problem for me and Jeff.
Really?
Yeah. He doesn't like peanut butter. You know the Brock Burke thing. Brock Burke walks in his sleep and all of that. You may have heard some wild stories about that from roommates on the road.
All right.
The interesting one was last week, Davis Wenzel.
Last week was a good one.
Yeah. Davis Wenzel got the end of his finger cut off when he was 4 years old, which was pretty interesting. But what is something nobody knows about Taylor Hearn?
Man, what is something nobody knows about me? I can't use the rodeo thing no more. I still got to figure out who leaked that first, because I was like, man, I was trying to keep that a secret, but I didn't mind it though, because my grandpa was, famous as well. You know, I don't really know.
And it's okay if you don't come up with one. I mean, it's not like you have to have something, but a lot of, right. When you become a professional athlete and you get more recognized out there, people kind of know some of your back stuff. But so,
yeah.
So we do this for that one thing. All of a sudden you're like, whoa. I mean, nobody knew that. So,
Well, the Snickers thing's pretty good.
Yeah. The Snickers thing ain't bad. You eat Snickers during a game.
Yeah. Snickers is really good. So, okay. So I have a very bad addiction to Smoothie King.
Oh, really?
Very, very bad addiction to it. I think I've done this one day. I've actually gone to go work out, got Smoothie King after, and then went to go do some more stuff, and then got Smoothie King again on the way back home.
So what's your go-to? And we've got a Smoothie King by the house here. I've never been there.
Yeah, so my go-to is the Hulk. I get the Hulk vanilla. Hulk vanilla with extra with cinnamon and peanut butter in it.
How many calories is that?
Oh, it's good enough. I need it. I think without all the cinnamon and peanut butter and that size of 32 ounce, it's like 10, it's like over 1,000 calories.
With the peanut butter has got to be probably 200 more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and then another one, I think you said Jack doesn't like peanut butter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate strawberry.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm all right with that.
I like strawberries. Hey, you know what? But it's not as bad, though. So strawberries, you can see people that do peanut butter. That's an issue. I'm sorry. All right. Now, tell us, last thing before you get out of here, tell us what's going on with you and Jose. You're doing some kind of Q&A thing tonight or something?
Yeah. So me and Jose have talked about it for a while, but I actually had a fan tweet at me about wanting to do like a live Q&A or just a Q&A Zoom or whatever, where we get kids to like ask us questions about what's it like to, you know, what it take for you to get to the big leagues and stuff like that. So I was like, I had talked to him about it, and you know, our interests of heart is the same thing. We both give it back and trying to help kids. So
sure.
So he was like, all right, he's like, yeah, let's do it. So we're going to set it up tonight at like, I think 7:30, where it's going to be a live Q&A. They can submit questions and stuff like that, and try to encourage kids to ask us all type of questions, you know, anything baseball related, like what type of drills y'all do, or, you know, what was your big, just everything.
Now, is this on Twitter or?
Instagram.
Okay. It's going to be on Instagram. Yeah. This should be out in the next hour or so. So we'll make sure and get it out there and tweet it for those that don't know. And then you can try to get on. If you got a kid that wants to ask a question to a big leaguer, this is a great place to get on and talk to a big league pitcher and a big league catcher. Ask them some questions and drills, and they'd love to have you on. And that's a very cool thing to do.
And tell them to make sure they bring their Maverick questions about how much they're better than the Spurs.
Absolutely. We can rub it in, you know, if you want to rub in Man U to anybody, too, that doesn't like Man U.
Please.
That's please. The deal. Well, Taylor, that's it. Jeff, anything else before we let him go?
No. I guess. Did you figure out any high schools you're going to go to yet?
So, I mean, I was about to try to go to South Lake and a couple other schools. These last couple of days, but I think the snow and stuff kind of put a little dent in that. I was gonna go to R.L. Turner 2 days ago, and then they ended up having picture day, so he had to move them back. So I'm actually gonna try to do some this weekend, depending on the weather, and then I'll do some later. I'm gonna try to start at the end of next week, because I'll be out of town and I'll be back Thursday. So the plan is to try to hit as many of these high schools as I can, and I wanted to make it a yearly thing. You know, sure. So I got a list of all the high schools, and been trying to tell a bunch of the coaches that are high school coaches there, like, hey, just hit me up so I can try to save the information and, you know, hit them guys up and just, you know, go out to these high schools and just work out with the kids and stuff like that. And, you know, kind of get to know the kids.
I think that is a freaking fantastic idea. And these high school coaches, hey, it's great to have a big leaguer come out and work out. You got to get your workout anyway. Why not go out and do it with some of these kids? And there's some great programs. That's an awesome deal. For guys, so how do they follow you on Twitter? It's at T, I don't have it in front of me.
T-Hearn 14. I think it's at, yeah, T-Hearn 14.
Yeah, at T-Hearn 14 on Twitter. Is Instagram too?
Instagram is 21.
Okay, at T-Hearn 21. So either way, get on there, guys. Hit him up, message him, let him know. He's needing places to work out before he heads to Arizona, and he may come by your high school. And if not this year, next year. Keep in touch.
I'm gonna try to make it a yearly thing.
So. Yep.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's Taylor Hearn, left-handed pitcher for the Texas Ranger. Taylor, thank you so much for coming on, and get to it and go out and play in the snow.
I appreciate it, man. Appreciate
you guys. Be careful.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
I will. All right. I'll see you guys.
All right, Taylor.
All right. So that was Taylor, man. One of the nicest guys. You know, every time we see him there, him and Jose, every one of those guys are nice, but they're funny. He's fun. What a fun guy to talk to, and the stories. I mean, I just like Taylor. He's always a big smile. Kind of like Ronald Guzman. It's why you're always pulling for Ronald Guzman. Just a really nice guy.
You know, and Taylor, you know, he said it just now, and he said it a couple times. He's kind of a risk taker. He speaks his mind.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's kind of why I didn't want to get too deep into the lockout stuff, because I don't want to say something that – that might get back to New York and then tick off the big guys up there. But anyway, he is a guy that when he becomes, I know Marcus Semien is on the executive board.
Sure.
For the players union. But I really think that Taylor could be a guy who would be interested in doing something like that. He just seems like he's got a lot of interests. He's I don't want to say he's unique because all these guys have certain things, but he's out there a little bit more with them for a young major leaguer who is establishing himself. And
yeah,
you know,
I totally agree. Yeah. He's
down in the community is great. You know, stuff like that.
He's wired that way that he could be a leader with the union eventually too. You could see something like that with him. He's kind of wired that way to be involved, more about being involved and knowing exactly the ins and out and what's going on. He's just a smart guy. I mean, that's what he likes to do. Okay, so we thought after this, so we're always trying to find stuff. Of course, we can do labor talk real quick. That's going to be a short conversation. I think they yelled at each other Tuesday, and that was it?
Pretty much. You know, they didn't do anything. And, you know, the union, I guess, tried to send a message by lowering its bonus pool request from $110 million to $105 or $105 to $1 million, $100 million, whatever, you know, because they thought MLB was screwing them over with the $10 million pool. So, you know, that just wasted everybody's time.
Yeah.
And, you know, if maybe they feel good about it, but it's going to cost them 2 or 3 days here that we don't have.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, there's going to be a season. There's probably going to be spring training. It's just, you just don't know when, and it seems like it's getting really, really petty when stuff like that happens.
Yeah, and it's what drives fans away. But so here's how our week usually works with Jeff and I. We get together Monday or Tuesday, start talking about potential guys. We're going to reach out to this. I think this one's who I'm targeting. Once we get past that, we had Taylor. We talked about that. We got Taylor. Then it's like, okay, what else do we want to talk about? You came up with a great idea. Let's talk about potential rotation, starting with what they have now and all that. And I think this could be fun to do until the lockout's over. We could focus on infield and say, let's look at infield and what obviously we know too. What do you think here? Where else could they go? Yeah. That's something we could go down the line. Outfields, that's up in the air a lot of places without free agency and all of that could happen. But the rotation is interesting. So I kind of looked at it and said, okay, well, let's break it out this way. With what they have, what kind of do you see as the rotation? And there's a bunch of candidates, long shots that are in the organization that could possibly break camp and maybe be in the rotation. You got some interesting free agent names that are out there that are still that are free agents once the lockout ends that are obviously people they could look at. And then, of course, the trade candidates. So let's start with what they have now. What do you see kind of right now with your rotation?
Well, Taylor is right in the middle of it. You know, it looks like John Gray, Dunning, and Taylor.
Those three, and then it gets weird. Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, it just depends on, you know, the Rangers have said they want to sign a veteran to put in the rotation. Of course, you know, the name is Clayton Kershaw's out there. He's weighing a lot, you know, his legacy, basically. I mean, it's set in stone. Nobody's ever going to not remember Clayton Kershaw as a Dodgers great.
Sure.
And that's a big deal. Staying with one team for your entire career and having that chance. It is a big deal, but you know, he's got, I think, four kids now, three or four, just had another one
in
December. You know, there is an appeal to, you know, being home more. You know, not that he's ever by himself very much. I'm sure that they had a beautiful place in Los Angeles and there's something to being home. Anyway, that's not a set deal. And plus, he has some health issues to overcome. But okay, so a veteran guy, and then you look at the fifth spot. It could be one guy, it could be two guys. You know, the tandem thing
that they do.
Really, I think the veteran starter is, you know, they want a veteran who can kind of, you know, nurture the young pitchers along. I think it also takes the pressure off of the team to feel the need to rush a guy like Cole into the major leagues.
Sure.
Feel the need to do that. They can kind of let him go to AAA and show them when he's ready. But, you know, I can see though, not signing a guy, going with these young guys
and, what you and
giving,
got?
Them, giving them a chance. And, you know, this is still, the Rangers have said, they're not going to make up 40 games in the standings, despite what they've done and what they intend to do. Maybe if the playoffs get expanded beginning of this year, they could have an outside shot at it. But you know, I wouldn't be at all. It wouldn't be a disappointment to me if And I don't think it would set the franchise back tremendously if they didn't sign a veteran pitcher and they went with these young guys moving, shuttling them, you know, in and out from Round Rock or wherever.
So if you're going that way, I kind of see something like a, so you go, look, you go Gray Dunninghorn. That's just kind of a, if with what you have now, Gray Dunninghorn from there, you know, you've got so many, you've got Otto Allard, you've got Alexi, Ari Jara could still look. He's back in, they took him off the 40 man. He's still under contract for major league salary. Little dealt with some injury stuff. Look, he's an innings eater. He's a good pitcher. He's got to get adjusted here. And then you got Spencer Howard, obviously. You right. can see any of those five right there making up those last two spots.
Sure. And, you know, and then, you know, I think John King's injury, having the thoracic outlet syndrome, you know, right when they were wanting to give him a chance to start.
He's a dark horse.
I think that probably the injury might eliminate him from this competition, but you never know. But yeah, you know, they like the fastball changeup combination there, and he's just kind of a bulldog and goes in there and gets it done. You know, Spencer Howard, that was a big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, to trade Kyle Gibson and Hans Kraus, you're basically trading Kraus for Howard. And you know, Howard didn't show well. You know, he had a screwy year. He didn't pitch particularly well with the Rangers. So that he's a project kind of guy right now, it would seem. But this is a top 50, former top 50 prospect, the Phillies' number one prospect.
Sure.
So I you know, you can't give up on that.
No.
You got to see that through. And so, you know, with him settling into a team and settling into a role, I think that put his mind at ease. I think he's going to be able to work on this offseason. He's been able to work on what he needed to work on and get back in that starting mode. So,
right.
You know, I don't know how it's going to work out. Guys are going to have to win jobs, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if Spencer Howard is in the rotation to start the season.
Yeah, and Howard like kind of like Kraus, maybe a new change of scenery can reset the table. Kraus ended up making his major league debut for the Phillies. But Howard, so, you know, Howard, I think he was frustrated in the fact that they really never went with the plan. He kind of got, you know, he couldn't get consistency at what he was trying to do, and they kind of gave up on him early when he had bad outings. So, you know, here there's a chance, you know, you can go, they'll let you go six or seven starts and work. And they're going to let you go a little while before they decide, okay, maybe this isn't going to work.
Yeah, the Phillies thought they had a chance to contend in the National League East, and you know, I mean, quite frankly, at one point they did, and they made moves at the trade deadline, obviously, to satisfy that. But you know, if a guy's not performing in a pennant chase, you're going to take him out. You're not going to give him a chance, and that's kind of what happened with Howard.
With Howard,
He didn't get a chance to. He didn't get the leash that a lot of Rangers pitchers did while he was with the Phillies. So I think that getting him straightened out is a priority. I think, you know, Alexi needs to throw more strikes.
Yeah.
Otto, I think at the end of last year was just worn out.
Yeah.
You know, so
he's kind of the one for me that seems like he going in would kind of be my front runner right now to win that last spot. Although I like Howard, I think Howard's going to get a good look and all of that. Otto just seemed, like you said, he was worn out, but pretty consistent in what he did. Just that's kind of my gut, you know. Unless they go sign somebody or do whatever.
I mean, he you know, and he's a little older, you know, pitching college, but he also he hadn't made a ton of Triple A starts.
Sure,
he basically went from Double A. Got promoted to AAA, did okay, or you know, better than okay. And then, you know, the Rangers, when they acquired him, their intention was to add him to the 40-man roster this offseason anyway. So just do it in the season and throw him out there. And he did well, you know, one time out. And anyway, he's older, but it's not like he's got a ton of experience,
right?
And so I just kind of,
he may wonder, be AAA rotation,
and you can kind of say that about all of them, honestly. And but that's part of the deal. You know, you're rebuilding. You need to just go with these guys and
Yep. I look at it, and there's also long shot candidates within the organization. When I say long shot, it's guys that are young, that could potentially have a spring that's unbelievable, where you just say, maybe we stick him at the back of this thing. Those guys are obvious names like Cole Wynn, which I don't. Yeah. It's a long shot, but let's say he goes into spring training, is just unbelievable. And, you know, maybe, but more likely he's headed to AAA. Someone like a Yuri Rodriguez, who another young guy doing that. Anybody you see somewhere that could be a long shot, kind of a young guy that could potentially – Leiter's not going to. He's got to have some minor league innings. That's
right.
For everyone thinking that, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. No, I think that of the prospect group, I think, you know, Wynn's got the best chance, but I don't think the Rangers are intending to do that. I think even if he is their best pitcher in spring training, I don't think they would do that. But, you know, I think a guy who probably needs a look, and I don't know if he'll be in major league camp or not, but, you know, and we talked about him last week at Davis Wenzel, is Cody Bradford.
Yes. Yes.
The fastball changeup combination is really, really good. Throws a lot of strikes. And when he's been healthy, he's, you know, with the exception of the year in college where he was injured, he's been very, very, very good. So yeah. Now he pitched in Double A. I don't see that he's gonna burst onto the scene in spring training, but yeah. I would not be surprised if he's in the major leagues this year. I mean, if he does really well in Double A and the moves up, maybe you see him at the end of the year, you know, type of thing. I think another guy who's a name to watch. I don't think he's remotely a candidate for the opening day roster is Zach Kent.
Oh yeah.
You know, he pitched really well at Hickory, came up to Frisco, pitched well his first time out, got roughed up a little, nicked up a little, had a couple good starts, you know, upper 90s velocity, throws four pitches. College pitcher. I think that's a game that could move a little bit this season.
Yeah, and when I'm saying long shot, someone like a Wynn or I said Yuri Rodriguez, and you talked about Bradford and all of that. I would tell you now that if Wynn made the opening day roster, that would tell me there might have been some people they were counting on that either had an injury or something not happening. Because Wynn's not on the 40. Not on the 40-man yet. That roster spot's important right now if you don't have to use it, because they're pretty stacked.
Well, and I would also look at Brock Burke.
I've got him as a long shot. Yeah.
You know, came off an injury last year and wasn't very good to start. Was terrible to start, but ended up pitching pretty well at the end of the season. I'd add him too.
Yeah. Okay.
He's going to be in camp.
So. Do what now?
He's on the 40, so he'll be in camp.
Yep. He's got a chance to prove it. To go there. Yeah. Okay, free agents. So we all talked about Kershaw. We know about Kershaw. Yeah. Free agent wise, other names. I mean, that they could go. You look at someone like a Carlos Rodon or Kikuchi, maybe Danny Duffy. I mean, you're just looking for a veteran arm to get in there. What do you think besides Kershaw?
Yeah, Zach Greinke. I mean, if they're looking for a guy who's been there and been in the battles and has the hardware and the respect, Greinke's done a lot in his career. I don't know what his future is, but I just don't think they're going to sign anybody who has a qualifying offer. And if they want to take a flyer on a guy, and I've said this before, Jake Arrieta, who had a really rough year last year, again, World Series winner, Cy Young winner. He's thrown at least one no hitter, maybe two. Local in that he is from Plano.
Yeah, Plano and, East, I think.
ECU, and he lives in Austin. So I think that I'm not saying that is on the radar. Maybe is, maybe isn't, but he fits the mold of a guy who's been there.
Yeah, and then there's the other way to go. And the other way to go would be trade. Now, there have been some names. I've got one name that I don't think has been linked to the Rangers that I wonder about, but I saw that he might be someone that a team be willing to move. But you go to your obvious ones. You got Sonny Gray, Castillo, and Maul from the Cincinnati. There's been talk of those. I think Gray's more likely because he wouldn't cost as much. Getting into that. You got with Oakland, Manea, Sean Manea, that there's been talk of maybe they would look to move him if you're doing a big package. That would be a blockbuster, maybe along with Olsen. I don't know, but that's a name. But I've got a name that I saw where I always look up possible trade candidates, this and that. A name that intrigued me was from Miami, Pablo Lopez. They've got a deep rotation of young guys. And okay. Someone put out that he might be someone expendable. He had a good year last year. That they might – now, it would – they're not going to give him away. He's too good. But that's a young, controllable – I think he's controllable through 25. He's older as far as who they have in their rotation, but he's still young. I think he's about 26 years old, something like that. But what about you? Anybody trade-wise other than those or –
Well, the Brewers have a couple guys. They have a lot of depth in the minor leagues. Like, their best prospect is a starting pitcher. So I think they have a couple starters who might be expendable. And beyond Manea in Oakland, Frankie Montas, they have guys who are entering arbitration, and if they're going to tear down and rebuild, guys who can get you some, yeah, you know, get you some prospects. So, you know, I would think that just about anybody who's ARB eligible for the A's would be a possibility.
Yeah.
You know, the interdivision thing. I don't know if that's a big deal or not. They've done deals in the past. I don't know. It just, you know, that's, I'm curious though what the trade market's going to be like if the lockout ends on February 10th and spring training is going to start on the 15th or 16th or 17th, you know, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
You know, and you got a week to do a bunch of stuff. Now, that doesn't mean you can't make trades during camp, but it seems like it's disruptive, you
right.
know, and
right.
Especially if you're like Oakland. If Oakland convenes with its current roster as is and then trades away 10 guys, I don't know if they do 10, but trades away Olsen and Manea and, you know, a couple other guys. I mean, that's a huge chunk of your team going away, and, you know, you're replacing it with what? With prospects or free agents who haven't signed yet. So yep. It's going to be spring. It really is. It's going to be chaotic. Chance to be, too chaotic, you know, it could disrupt some things with teams that feel pretty good about themselves.
Yeah, I tell you what, it could be fun once it's done. And, you know, I guess it's not, is it, can teams talk to each other? Can they at least outline stuff, or they can't talk to each other? So front offices can't.
They're not supposed to. I mean, who knows what's going on, but they can't talk about trade. They can't talk about players on anybody's 40-man roster.
Okay.
So, or free agents who are, covered by their service time last year or something to that effect.
Okay. Well, that's okay. So anything else?
Not really, you know. TR did a memoir yesterday.
Yeah.
He's going to have one tomorrow.
What's tomorrow's?
It's CJ Wilson.
Okay.
CJ Rick Helling.
Oh, it was all Rick Helling. Yeah. Because he's talking about underrated pitchers. Yeah.
And, I've read it and edited it. It's pretty good. I haven't put a headline on it yet, but I'm gonna run it Friday. I've got your thing. I haven't looked at it yet, but I'm thinking about doing it Saturday. Your look at the possible lineup 2025.
Yeah. So here's what I did. So let me explain. So obviously 2025, you're looking at what you have in your organization now. Let's be honest. Half the guys I talked about probably aren't here, whether they're done in deals or done whatever. But I'm saying, if you didn't make any moves between now and 2025, what could your opening day roster look like with just what you have in the organization? Now, that's just me doing something, because obviously in baseball offseason, there's free agent signings, there's trades, there's all kinds of things. Sure. So I'm so off, it's not even funny. But it makes you think what I think of the talent that's there. and what the talent that's there, what they could be and who could be playing where and what could be going on. It also means there are players that are on this roster now that I don't think will be here. And so that's what I did. So when you look at it, you got to understand, I'm not taking into account any trades, any moves, any free agent signings. I'm talking with what they have today during lockout.
Yeah, well, hey, why not?
Hey, there's got to do something.
Baseball America does it. You know, it's part of their every year, part of their handbook. They project a rotation and lineup for 5 years down the road. And, so it's a thing, and why not do it? I'm also I right before we started talking, I did a published a little story about a documentary on Nolan Ryan that's coming out called Facing Nolan. I talked to Nolan's son Reed yesterday about it.
What's it coming out on?
Well, it's going to be on it's debuting at South by Southwest next month.
Ooh, cool!
And then they have this distributor, and they're trying to figure out apparently the streaming network, the streamers are trying to get it, and maybe some networks too. So they hope to have it available by the summertime.
Cool.
And so I did a little story on that. Tomorrow's Friday on the farm. You know, I've been trying to get my top 40 together. So we may
have some comparisons.
31 to 40 tomorrow. And then, Sunday, we'll have a little Sunday read. So a lot of good stuff at jeffwilson.substack.com, which is $5.99 a month or $60 a year.
Cheap.
I tell you what, and I say it every time, and it's the truth. I've written every day pretty much since Jan 1.
Cup of coffee in my morning read. That's what I do every morning. Cup of coffee, and I'll sit there and read it.
And that's the way it's going to be. I mean, I am going to take vacation time at some point, but if you're spending $60 for a year, you're going to get, I don't know how many stories, you know, you're going to get thousands of stories for $60, not thousands, but hundreds of stories for $60. And it's good stuff. And it's not just Rangers.
It's not just your opinion. You're talking to people.
Present day. Yeah. And it's not opinion. It's history from TR. It's fun stuff from you.
Mine's more opinion crap because I'm not talking, but you're talking to front office, players, everything.
News. It's like what I was doing at the other place.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's the beat. And so anyway, and we're a lot cheaper than the other places. So go ahead and sign on. $5.99 a month, $60 a year.
Okay, Jeff Wilson. So we're about to get out of here, but for everyone listening, I want to just heads up for next week. We don't know what's going to break or what's not. I am heading to Florida Wednesday for a wedding that I'll be there till Saturday. We will not miss breaking stuff. It may sound different because maybe I'll be on my phone recording it or whatever. So we will not allow it not to go, especially if there's breaking news. But it may come out earlier in the week. It may just be normal. My buddy that I'm going to stay with there, it's his son getting married, has kind of a setup there, and I'm going to have my laptop at least. I can't bring all my recording equipment, but we can at least do something and throw something out. I'll be able to edit it, get it into where it needs to go. But if it sounds different next week, you're already pre-warned that it just may be, hey, I'm going on what's considered a little vacation to go see a friend, get married, and all that, but I'm willing to work if we got something we need to talk about, and we're going to put something out.
All right, yeah, we'll figure it out. So
that we can do it. Well, guys, I think that's it. I don't have anything else, do you?
I don't. Just
stay safe.
If you're listening today and tomorrow, and stay safe. Don't go too crazy on the roads.
Yep. Go to Taylor's thing tonight. I'm trying to get this out before then.
Yeah. We'll put that in the description.
Yep. I will.
And then we'll make sure to tweet it out or retweet or whatever they got.
I'm sure Taylor will too. He retweeted this morning. We said it. Guys, that's it. Thanks for Taylor Hearn for coming on. Until next week, we'll see you at the yard.